It's time for the forecast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the forecast, a podcast like no other.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? About nothing.
The Forecast, sponsored by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse is redefining how you view real estate by eliminating the typical commission structure of 6 or 7% to sell your home. List your home for $2,495 plus 3% and still get full service. Check out charterhouseiowa.com to learn more.
There's only one thing I value in this world, Stephen, that's loyalty. Without it, you're nothing. You have no one. It's the only currency you can count on.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter and Chris Williams.
Sit down.
I think you may have something here.
Hey guys, happy Thursday. Welcome to this week's podcast. Maybe you're listening on Friday. Perhaps it's Saturday. This is the podcast. We're at Charterhouse Real Estate, hanging out.
How out of the loop would you feel if you listened to this on Saturday?
Well, I mean, it is Friday after work. We tend to not
follow the rules.
Well, we don't talk that much sports on here anymore. So
it depends.
It really, I mean, the podcasts, they don't get dated very often anymore. I mean, you can log in and hear Nick's take on the band teachers, and that's always fresh.
Occasionally, we'll get a fresh hot take from you when something happens the night before we record, and we get you before your radio show.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
I haven't been on the air the last 2 weeks, 2 days.
I mean, there's always some breaking news, you know, like Jim Boeheim killed a guy. I mean,
jeez.
So that happened.
A little soon, Mark.
Jeez.
That's a sad story.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's true, it's true. I mean, he just left the game and just killed a man. So,
well, you make it sound like he
swerved at him.
I think you're being a little insensitive to the situation.
Williams, I'm stating a fact. He killed a man, all right?
Yeah, but you make it sound like he...
I didn't say he murdered a man.
Yeah, okay.
I said he killed a man.
But the way you said it made it sound like that.
Okay.
I'm trying to correct you.
Would you prefer that Jim Boeheim's car killed a man?
I would say Jim Boeheim was involved in a tragedy that ended up with one man dead.
That is true.
Yes.
Apparently,
a little more tactful.
30? Guy was 30?
You know what? I haven't read much about it. This all started breaking just not that long ago. So
I read that. So apparently, no booze involved.
Yeah, no drugs for him.
No speeding. Just sounds like a guy.
Thank God. Boeheim's got a nice legacy, and that would have really sucked.
Does he though? Honestly, that's a real question. Does he?
I think so.
You don't view him as a little dirty? He's had some incidents. Yeah. He's been suspended before.
He's won so many games, and he's done it all.
I mean,
you don't
look at his currency as completely clean.
No, I mean, who is though? I guarantee none of those guys are. I don't know.
How dare you talk about Coach K that way?
You don't say Jim Boeheim, and I don't think sleazeball. I'll put it that way.
Roy Williams?
No, I mean the academic stuff there, but again. Like, what are we comparing these guys to?
Give me the coach.
How
about being good people, being decent?
Who's the coach?
I think Roy Williams is a decent man.
Who's the coach you put on the sleazeball list as soon as you hear the name? There has to be one.
Billy Gillespie.
Really? Okay.
Big 12 coaches are the first one that come to my mind. There's not many in the league right now. Yeah, Alford's is total sleaze.
Okay.
You know, Scott Drew used to have that reputation, and I never really understood why. I think he's a good guy.
Kicks our ass.
Yeah, no question about that. He's got Iowa State's number. Name out some other ones. I'll tell you sleaze or no sleaze.
Eustachy.
Eustachy, I have a love-hate relationship with Eustachy. He's an Iowa State guy, but I don't, like when Paul Shirley joined us, like some of the stories that his former players play, I'm like, why do fans rally around that guy?
Yeah.
Because he seemed like Because the one picture of him amongst the people.
I don't even know him. Like, I just, like, some of the stuff, like, that his former players say, it's like, God, he was a total dick to those guys.
Yeah, there's different classifications, too, because if you say a sleazeball, you're referring to recruiting stuff or scandals.
I don't think I'd call him a sleazeball.
Because I would say, you know, even Fran. I don't think you'd go down that road.
No.
But you'd say big-time man, baby. You know, I don't like the way he acts on the court.
That's fair. That's Fran's biggest problem. It's not even his resume.
Here's the question for each of you. No right answer to this. If you took everything into consideration as far as how successful they've been, legacy, et cetera, college basketball coach, who is number one out of everybody right now?
Like all-time or current coaches?
Current coaches right now. Who's number one? I guess you would qualify that as number one most respected coach. So they
most
have to be a winning
respected.
Coach. Who jumps to mind?
Coach K.
Coach K. I think he's probably the greatest of all time. I would say him, Roy, Self.
Izzo?
Yeah, Izzo. Yeah.
You think Self, though? Self's got a bad – I mean, Self has – again, I have no idea if this is right or not, but Self seems to have a reputation as someone that steps on his wife regularly. And now the latest stuff, which is, you know, connected to paying players and all of that, you know, he's involved with that.
I don't know about any of that stuff. I do know that the guys in the industry generally like him. He's pretty popular.
I mean, isn't one of the Kansas recruits, his name has come up in the court stuff?
D'Souza?
Yeah.
That whole deal is pretty shady.
Yeah.
In the sense that I
that's what I'm referring to.
We'll find out about all that stuff. I certainly think that Kansas was guilty on a lot of that stuff. But again, like,
for him personally, though, it's,
do you guys grade him on
how much
a curve?
You choose not to know.
Well, I feel like all of us as fans like have done that. Like, how much are we, any of us, talking about the investigations now that the season's going? We don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can sit there and say that.
Paying players is akin to, in my opinion, a ball player taking steroids. It doesn't rise to the level where I care. You know, I assume that many of them are doing it. It honestly makes the product more enjoyable to watch from the fan perspective.
And it, to everybody, it doesn't make it right. I'm not
justifying it. I'm saying as a fan, sometimes I don't care about some of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think most fans do. I think a lot of fans say that they do because they want to, like, appear to be morally
pure.
Yeah, like, but I don't actually think they care.
If you found out that Iowa State paid George Niang to come to school, do you care at this point? It's like, yeah, what did he give to the program and how loved was he?
I think there's an element of people who would actually care. But I think it's relatively small, and I think the majority of fans would find a way to justify it because it's Iowa State, and that's their team.
For the record, I don't think George is paid to come to Iowa State. So
thanks for clarifying that.
Just using that example.
I don't know, man. It's just it's so hard on those because we don't know these guys, you know. And the way the system's set up because of the amateurism model and stuff. Like, these assistants, like, the only way they can move up is if they get players.
Yeah.
And by moving up, it gets them paid. So, like, it's a personal investment in them to pay these guys. Because if they get them, oh, well, he's a great recruiter. And then you can get a better job. And then you move up, right? And, like, and that, by the way the system's set up, that's just what it leads to. And I...
The risk is worth it.
I don't have a hot take on amateurism. That's Ross's deal. I don't...
Speaking of interest,
because I'm traveling around with the women's basketball team, and they're real student athletes.
Yeah,
and I would hate for girls like that to lose opportunities because we start doing something on the other side. However, that doesn't mean that a guy like Zion Williamson absolutely isn't being taken advantage of, because he is. I don't know what the answer is. This is one that I just stay out of, and I know that there's a lot smarter people than me that can figure it out. Because I see both sides.
Yeah, I mean, one side of that argument is someone like Zion being taken advantage of. Well, you could argue that he's also not paying anything to have his platform raised. He's on national TV thanks to Duke being Duke. Every game, you know, makes him more famous, makes him more marketable, etc.
He's earning more endorsement dollars that he'll cash in on later.
That's my deal. Like, when it comes to, like, when this G League thing, like, starts to really take off, like, if I, and I never will have a kid like this, but if my kid was Zion Williamson, I would say you should go to Kentucky or Duke for a year over going and playing for the Iowa Wolves. Because, one, you're not mature enough to go and be on your own at 18 and live that lifestyle. Two, you don't want to live that lifestyle riding around in a bus all the time and going like from one small empty gym to another.
It'd get old in a hurry.
I just think that you part of like what's so great about that first year of college is like just how much you grow like intellectually and like maturity wise. And I would rather give my son for a year to Coach K or Coach Calipari to we can say like, oh, it's just a hoops factory, and it is. But those guys like, but they've think about the wealth of experience they have. Yeah. Of with guys like that and trying to get them to the next level.
Yeah. It's just, I think the problem people have with that route, and if given this, if I'm Zion Williamson and your choice is make a little bit of money in the D League, and you're right, going to cities where people aren't showing up, they're not caring all that much, and you're one of many, or going to Duke for a year where you're the king of Duke for a year.
You're flying around in a charter jet.
That's pretty appealing. The downside to that scenario, if there is the academic side of it is a sham.
Absolutely. They're not there to go to geology class.
So can they
rocks for jocks.
So I think what would make people a little easier to swallow is everyone's on the same page knowing we know why you're here. And we're going to treat you a little differently than we're going to treat somebody who's going to be here for 4 years and graduate. So your course load is different, the classes you can take is different. It's just, you got to stay eligible. Why?
And that's a beef I would have with Iowa State if I had one, like that Pfizer and Tinsley don't have their numbers retired or whatever.
Because they didn't graduate.
But like they weren't there to graduate. Let's be honest.
But you retire because they're great basketball players.
Correct. And that's why they were on campus.
Yes.
Like Larry didn't, or whoever didn't bring them in.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree with you, by the way, complete on that. Same, that's a dumb standard.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I hate it.
Same thing with Troy.
See, and this is, I have a weird thing on Troy. Like, because I did a little research on this. It's pretty damn rare to have football players get their jersey retired. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't.
Why is that?
Well, one reason would be is you're going to run out of numbers. You've got however many guys. Like, you have 85 scholarships, and then you have a home game where you have 115 guys suit up. Like, Jesus, like.
They're already sharing numbers.
You can't. Yeah, they're already doing that. You can't.
Yeah.
So that's a reason. And two, like, you just see more like their numbers are on the stadium or whatever. Maybe Iowa State needs to start doing that. Like, I'm fine with that. But
can you honor Troy Davis because clearly he's one of the best Cyclones ever without retiring the number?
Yes, absolutely.
Put his name up on the facade and call it good.
Make it the Troy Davis running backs room at Iowa State with, like, a mural of him. And, like, you – yeah, there's all sorts of stuff you can do. But I –
that would take the power away from the number two, so then it's not a big deal when somebody else wants to use the number.
This would be my argument, and I know a lot of like former players have stood up for Troy saying that his number should be retired, and I respect their takes. But like my whole deal is if this was a big deal, did you guys know that nobody was wearing Troy Davis's number?
No.
Like, did you ever think about it?
Didn't cross my mind.
It never once crossed my mind.
So no one had worn it since?
I guess. No, Darren did. His little brother did.
Yeah.
But nobody had done that since. So, like, it was some unwritten rule in the football office.
Okay.
But the problem is it didn't resonate with any of the fans anyways.
Yeah.
So why don't we do something to really honor Troy outside of that stadium? Or, like, it's the Troy Day, you know, like where the community choice thing is when you walk into the stadium. Let's have, like, a mural of Troy Davis.
I mean, there's so many things there they could name.
Yeah.
Like, name something.
Yeah.
Like Troy Davis concession stand.
No, put us.
This is the one, baby.
Yeah. The Troy Davis Library says
Bensy. The library.
That's ironic.
I doubt he knows where that is, Bensy.
Take a Troy Davis hot dog, please.
Yeah. The Davis dog. There's something fun.
Davis dog.
Honestly, like, I got a little bit out of shape with the way Troy handled that, but then I think about it, it's like, I get it. That's Troy's. I'm not sure Troy has a lot else to be fired up about these days, which is too bad, and I hope that it comes around for him. But two, I really felt bad for that kid.
Yeah.
Because, he just gets on campus, and he's excited to be a Cyclone, And, you know, he's excited to like, hey, I got my number.
You're going
to
hate this kid. He's taking the number.
Yeah, and it totally, like, ruined that. Like, I just wish Troy would have been like, hey, a lot of pressure wearing that number. Wear it right, man.
Yeah.
But instead, and the thing is, I think it was totally innocent. I'm like, I don't think Cam – it's not like Matt Campbell went to Breece Hall and said, hey, wear 28. We're going to piss off Troy Davis today.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
I don't think he would do that.
No. He didn't even realize it. I talked to him about it. Like, Matt didn't even – like, it did not cross his mind.
I think Matt has such tunnel vision that that's believable.
Yeah.
We've got to focus on wins next year, and that's it.
It's football. Everything's football. He's not thinking about that stuff. And I also know, Matt, that he felt bad that Troy felt that way, but I don't think he regretted letting Breece Hall have the number. Breece Hall, you guys are going to love him. Great kid. Like, good student. Like, is passionate. Like, he's going to be a great Cyclone.
Is he big? Like,
you know, he is a – I think he's a traditional running back is how I would describe him. He's not – I wouldn't call him a bruiser. I wouldn't call him a speedster.
Fast,
I think he's
and a traditional, muscular.
I think he is a more traditional running back. Yeah. He'll look like David. He doesn't run like David, though. It's a different type of running.
Faster.
I don't know about that. But David was just like an – he was like a little bit of a – he was better off if he didn't have to hit the hole.
Maybe that's an unfair knock on David, but when I picture him and think about him, and he's a great running back, I don't think fast. That's not the adjective
that's why,
I come up with.
When the combine happens next week, the thing to watch is the 40 time with him because that's his knock. Like, he didn't have a lot of – now – a lot of the fault was on the line.
Yeah.
Is why he didn't have a lot of like 50-yard runs because, well, David had to play offensive line. He was a lot like Troy.
Yeah.
In that sense, like Troy's lines always, they weren't very good.
Making
but he would make it work, but yeah, anyways.
Yeah. All right, I want to we did a poll, by the way, and I'm not talking about the Kim Kardashian one.
The Kim Kardashian one was lovely.
So you were a daddy like vote.
Oh yeah, I had daddy like. I think I was the second Fokker to vote
on that one. So that one was interesting. But I don't know if you've been hearing this, but I assume you probably have. That people are talking a lot, and obviously it's due to the fact that we're losing games. People are talking a lot about Hilton and how Hilton's different.
Okay. Let's discuss.
So we put a poll, and I have a theory, and I'm not saying it's right. Okay, I'm going to preface by saying I'm not saying my theory's right. It's nothing more than a theory. But I want you to weigh in because
hypothesis.
This might have something to do with aliens. Who knows? All right. So the poll that we asked was, I said, been hearing and seeing a lot of complaints this year about the energy at Hilton being way down. So what is the issue? And we had a lot of good comments on this. So the four choices were no issue at all. People are dumb. need better sound system. Okay.
I think I voted for number one.
Hilton routine is tired. And by tired, what I mean is same songs at same points in the game, same timeouts.
Jock jams.
You know, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And the fans are too quiet. Those are the four choices. So some people said things like, and this is, I agree with this, poor tip times coupled with bad weather. You know, you get Tuesday night at 8 o'clock.
That has been fair. This year's been really bad weather for those games.
So, The vote breakdown was no issue won the poll, 41%.
And that people are idiots?
Correct. People are dumb, yeah. Second place at 34% where fans are too quiet.
Okay.
Okay. Hilton routine is tired was 18%, and 7% said they need a better sound system. So I was talking with Nick about this the other day. I say, what is different about Hilton? And again, I'm not going out on this limb and saying this is the difference, but I just found it somewhat interesting. You know how certain people really get affected in the winter when it comes to light? We don't have as much daylight, so they literally sit at home and have lights that shine on them.
We got to pop that vitamin D.
And winter can create depression in people because the lighting is so different than the summertime. That's a very real thing. People suffer from that. So I was thinking, what's changed in Hilton? The lights have. The feel of Hilton has changed. I grew up going to Hilton Coliseum, watching games on TV. I was telling Nick this.
Did you see the thread about this?
No.
You prepare to get annihilated.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So some other guy out there, believes with you.
Okay.
He's right here with you.
So the Hilton used to have, in my opinion, a warm feeling to it. Like, literally, when you're in the building, it felt warm. It was the light. The court on TV looked a certain way. Now the court on TV looks slightly different. So the lights went from warmer to cooler. The ceiling gets painted from a wood look to a black look. So inside Hilton, it feels different. Now, is it drastically different? No, but it is. So scientifically speaking, could it be possible that people inside this building...
So now you want to believe in science, Mr. Global Warming's
up. Absolutely. Look outside, dude. See all that snow? So again, I'm not saying that is the thing, and someone would say that's completely far-fetched, but you can't look at Hilton and say it's exactly the same because it isn't. So could that have 1% of a role, or is it zero? That's all I'm saying. Could it be a contributing factor to the fact that Hilton is different than it used to be, seemingly? Now, you might be on the side of the fence that says it's no different whatsoever, and I think the fans are just as good and just as loud. But enough people have noticed and commented on the fact that Hilton feels different that something seems off. He's got to take a minute to process this.
I just don't
buy the ambiance.
I was not aware of the thread, though. And yeah, the fact that you mentioned there is one, that's interesting. Yeah, so their take is that it's also due to lighting and stuff like
honestly,
that.
Honestly, like, it just got to be like fans attacking one another, so I got out of it. Yeah. I hate how when the team loses, like, the fan base just annihilates each other. Like, I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't enjoy that aspect of my work. I disagree with you. I don't necessarily know why. I feel like it's more of a basketball issue than it is the fans or the promotions or I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'll say this. I like the new lighting.
Do you?
Yeah. I think it looks cool. I think it's got like this little bit of a Madison Square Garden feel to it. And I personally think it looks more modern. I think it looks better on TV, but I know that I'll have a bunch of tweets after saying that people disagree. So you're I don't think you're wrong, Mark.
Well, neither
a lot of people out there agree with
the
you.
The look, neither of us can be wrong on because it's the blue dress, black dress
thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's all that or gold dress or whatever the hell it was.
For instance, like when I'm on my computer and I'm on a website and I can have a dark theme,
yeah,
I do the dark theme. That's just how I like.
Sure.
Black and gray are my favorite colors.
Yep.
You got nighttime Twitter?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I don't.
I was thinking long and hard about this. This is my theory on why they're losing there. And you tell me if you agree or disagree. Some people will say it's an excuse. I don't believe it. I think we're all bloviating here in the sense that we don't know what's wrong. But this is what guys do when they sit around. They try to figure it out. I think that, one, the team relatively is very young. If you look at the guys who are playing, right? I'm saying more young in an Iowa State sense. Like I don't really think that Fred and Monte being there resonated much with that group because they don't resonate with much at anything. Like if Gary Thompson walks in, do you think George Condon's like, oh, you know,
Gary,
it's the rolling rocket? No, like that does to us. Yeah. But so two. I think that when you look at the veterans on the team, it's Nick Weiler-Babb, who might be the single most passive player I've ever covered at Iowa State. And that's not a shot at him. That's his personality.
Yep.
He's not a – Niang and Naz were mother effers. And I say that in the most complimentary way possible.
And they loved firing up the crowd at home.
I'll give the Melvin Edgem story, and I've told it multiple times, but – This team doesn't have a Melvin Edgem. Melvin Edgem was one of his first weeks on practice, chucked a basketball at Jordan Raley's head. This wasn't even during practice. This was like a players only shootaround.
Yeah.
Because he didn't like the way that Jordan Raley was practicing.
Yep.
So Melvin Edgem took a basketball and spiked it off of his dome to set a tone, right? And you look at Iowa State's upperclassmen, Shayok is very he's an introvert.
Yep.
Jacobson, I think, has that in him, but I don't think it's – we saw it in the Iowa game, but we haven't really seen it much since.
Yep.
He's not a long-term Iowa State guy. He's a transfer who's just been in there. Then who else am I missing? Oh, Weiler-Babb, right?
Yep.
He's never going to be the guy who – I think if Weiler-Babb was a mother effer, he'd probably be in the NBA by now. But he's not that type.
Who is the team leader?
I don't know, and that's, I think, the
problem.
To me, because – I think that eventually, like, this core group, this is why I don't think Hilton's dead, and I don't think it's all these other things that we're talking about. Like, let's just assume that the current freshmen in Wigginton are all here next year or the year after that. That group, well, the longer these guys are at Iowa State, they grow to love it. Naz wasn't like Mr. Puffing at the chest holding out his Iowa State jersey the day he got here. Mm-hmm. He learned to love it. George is the only player I've ever covered who – but George would have done that anywhere. Like, if he would have committed to DePaul, George would have been – he would have found DePaul's rival on Twitter and started taunting them.
Yep.
Because that's just the way he is. And that's why he's going to have a 10-year NBA career, even if he's on the end of the bench.
Yep.
I think that it's a group that, because of all the things I've said, I think that they experienced that Kansas State loss, which was a fluke deal in the sense that I think if you play that game 100 times, Babb's going to hit the shot in the corner – often, like,
K-State is not going to hit shot clock expiring bombs.
Thank you. Like, it's a deal where you don't blow that lead very often, no matter how you – like, you can't blame the lighting at Hilton for blowing that lead, right? That was a – and you gave Kansas State a ton of credit. They're a really good team. This is just my deal, and tell me what you want. But I think that they are so tight now going into that building, they're afraid to lose there. I mean, that's the only thing I can explain. Why are they winning on the road in atmospheres that are tough and are
well, you can
them?
Argue, yeah. Yes, I agree with you. They're playing looser. But, like, why did they lose the other night? Nick and I were watching clips the other day.
They're getting their asses kicked.
Dude, they're standing there looking at the hoop while Baylor's flying to the ball.
They were getting their asses kicked.
You're going to lose if you do that.
You gave up 10 threes and what? How many? 28 offensive rebounds or whatever it was.
I mean, it boils down in that game to effort. And they didn't have any.
I don't get it. That's why I say I don't understand it. I don't know.
But is that coaching? Is that like timeout yelling in some faces?
I think a part of it has to go on Prohm.
To box your ass out.
Prohm said after the game, I thought it was an interesting quote. He said he turned to Daniel Robinson, his assistant, at the first media timeout and says, "We don't got it tonight. I can see it in our guys' eyes." Which is interesting.
That's tough.
Like, I feel like maybe a basketball team's like your kid, you know, where you know if you can tell if your kid's sick.
Yeah, acting a little different.
I don't know. I think absolutely Prohm has to shoulder a lot of it.
And fans hate hearing that because these guys get only so many games to play at a place that is special, Hilton. Like, how the hell are you flat?
Yeah.
Coming out. It's frustrating to hear that. And I don't disagree with you. You have nights where that is the case.
Yeah.
But it's like, why?
I don't know.
You love the game. You only get so many. You look forward to playing the game. Okay, it's not Kansas tonight. It's Baylor.
But still, Baylor.
I think what Chris is saying is true. Like, they're playing tight because they're so worried about losing. Where, you know, bringing up George and everything, like, the crowd would go crazy, and then he would go crazy, and then the crowd would go crazier, and then he would go crazy. Like, they did a good job of feeding off of each other, where now it seems like the crowd gets into it, and then kind of nothing. You know, and then the team gets going, and the crowd's all right there again. And then
let me ask you one specific, since you cover the game so much, and I'm not going to claim to say this is true because I don't know. I don't follow it as close as you do. Clearly, one knock on Prohm is that he'll call a timeout after we make a big basket.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Is there truth to that?
Yeah,
like we'll hit the big three, crowd goes crazy, he calls a timeout.
Prohm's theory on that. And he's been asked about it. Okay. And he gives a pretty good explanation of it where you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
His explanation is that he is a coach in his whole career. He believes teams respond better in a timeout when things after a make as opposed to when they're down. Now, I would say, Steve, if he were here right now, have you thought about adjusting that because of the home court deal and the weapon that you have in your home
momentum.
Court?
Momentum.
Yep. Yeah.
And noise.
Yeah. So I wonder if – I think I Mark, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, I'm always wondering why he's calling timeouts after makes. That's something he's done his whole career. But maybe he needs to adjust that.
Well,
I don't know.
And someone said it's true. You get the crowd riled up, and then you give an easy layup to the other team, and the crowd dies back down. But we haven't had that, and we haven't needed it at home this year, other than who killed us? TCU beat us up. But I was saying, I remember, what, 3 seasons ago, maybe more than that. My timing sucks on these things. We got down to Oklahoma by 20.
Oh, yeah, that was the big Monday game.
And I think we came – maybe it was a 20-0 run or a 22-2 run or something like that.
I'll never forget that.
And it was just a build-up upon a build-up upon a build-up as every shot went in.
Pretty sure Iowa State was on a two-game losing streak, too. They'd lost to Baylor and Kansas State. That was the year that Drew called the timeout with, like, 9 minutes to go, his final timeout.
Final one.
And then they hit 7 threes in a row and won in Hilton, and everybody was freaking out then. And then they lost at Kansas State by one.
Yeah.
And then was that big Monday game.
Yeah.
That was Buddy Hield, wasn't it? I think Buddy Hield was
I don't know if Hield was in that game. Was it maybe before him? I don't recall.
I remember that game like it was yesterday. That was incredible.
Yeah.
It was the same. Wasn't that the same year that the Clones were down like 20 to Iowa at halftime?
They had a couple of huge comebacks that year.
Yeah.
And it feels like for the first time in a while, we're not capable of that at home. And I think that frustrates people.
Yeah, And again, I think they're capable of it.
It's like 2015?
Okay. 14-15 season, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, Mark.
22-0 second half run.
22-0.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that. I do think Prohm needs to readjust the timeout thing, though, because I get it at Murray, but you don't have.
You're never getting the crowd that fired up there.
Correct.
Ever.
It's a totally – like, use it to your advantage.
Yeah. Like, where the crowd gets the most nuts is when, especially you play Kansas. We're playing Kansas, and we're rolling. We're making shots, and we make a three, and then Kansas takes the timeout. And then our announcer's like, timeout, Kansas!
Yeah.
He's freaking out, and the crowd's going nuts, right?
Yeah.
Timeout, Iowa State!
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
That makes no sense to do that. Force them to take the timeout.
I'd like to, and I don't I'm sure there's a basketball reason for this. Maybe they just never practice it. But I'd like to see, like, in a game the other night, like, why not play Jacobson and Lard together a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just getting your ass kicked on. Jacobson, I'm sorry. Like, I know he's a local kid. We're all rooting for him. He can't rebound against Baylor.
The ups. Yeah. Aren't quite there.
No, he does. He's undersized and he doesn't have the athleticism. He should not be playing the five against Baylor. And he's very gritty, and he's a good piece. And Iowa State would not be where they're at without it. I'm not saying bench him, but like you've got to in that game find a way to help him out. Like he can still play, but Jesus, like he's getting mauled.
I agree with you, but in the clips that we are watching, we got guys that aren't even jumping. They're not boxing out. It's like they're waiting for the ball to fall to earth.
Yeah, and that's
like, what are you doing?
Yeah, man.
A lot of it looked like somebody else will get it.
It was bad.
There's three guys around me. One of them will get it.
That game was bad.
Yeah.
Like the last two home games, like I've you know, and I wasn't there on Wednesday or Tuesday, but the last two home games, you know, I hate questioning effort because I feel like it's such a lowest common denominator. Like you have no idea. Like,
but I think that's the fix for that night.
Yeah. Well,
you got to care about that ball.
The biggest thing that I get annoyed by is like Iowa State's better than those teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, I think
maybe not Baylor. I mean, Baylor's beat them twice. Maybe they're not.
Biased as like hell. The year. I think Iowa State is the best team in the Big 12.
I still do too. That's
and yet they come out and. They don't have the swagger that you need to be the best. It's like they don't believe it. It's like you guys, when you play well, are the best team in the Big 12, in my opinion.
You know, at the end of the day, too.
Get the swagger and go play like that.
I bet if we would go through box scores in the Big 12, I haven't done this. I should. If Wigginton plays well, they win.
Yeah.
Because I think everything else kind of – I feel like you kind of know what you're getting from Horton Tucker now. You know what? Shayok's going to be a low percentage, high volume shooter at this point, but he's going to get his 20.
Yeah.
Halliburton has really just become more of a facilitator
Do you want to see him shoot more?
Absolutely. And then, but like Wigginton's the one who's so up and down.
Yeah.
When he's up, they usually win.
By far, our most frustrating player to watch.
Yeah.
Really great in moments, and then it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
In others, which is really, really tough to sit and watch that. But why is Halliburton not shooting more? Just trying to defer?
I don't know, man.
He should be confident in a shot.
Should be. He's just deferring to Lindell.
He needs to stop doing that.
I do think, too, there's a there's a real aspect of the when you play in the Big 12 and you play everybody twice, the scouting report gets really good that second time. And I think that they've all realized just keep pushing Halliburton back.
Yeah.
Just defend the shit out of him and put him back behind the three. And then he's too passive at this point in his career where he's not going to dribble drive you.
Yeah.
And then he knows what a – he's smart enough where he's not going to take a terrible shot.
Yeah.
I would give a little credit to the coaches in this league for that too.
But consistently, yeah. He takes the deepest threes of anybody on
because
our team.
Because he has to.
He's got range.
Yeah.
He can make those. So as a 3-point shot that's a foot farther back, a bad shot for him.
Well,
I would argue it's not.
Yeah, but I would also argue that his percentage has dropped throughout the year and the scouting report's gotten better on him. But I don't know that. I don't know that number off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I want him to shoot more.
We're at the phase of the year where it's
– everybody's pissed about everything.
Well, that and as we look forward to the Big 12 tournament, which is coming up
– Clones are winning it this year.
And that'll lead me into Ryan Grove because he wants to join us for a thaw down there. But they could lose their first game or win the whole thing. And I don't think either one would surprise people.
It shouldn't.
At this point. It's like, which team's going to show up? One of my favorite sports memories was, again, no idea what year this was because I really do suck at remembering what years things happen.
Barely know what day it is, man.
But one of my favorite sports memories was the year that we beat Baylor for the Big 12 title.
That was the first year that they won.
And that place was nuts, dude.
Oh, man, it was so fun.
It was 97% Iowa State fans in the building.
You know what I remember?
That was a fun game.
You know what I remember about that night? So it was like 70, 75.
Beautiful
out,
yeah.
It was amazing. And I remember my wife and me and Bloom were covering the game. And our wives came down that day, like a lot of people from Central Iowa did.
Yep.
And I remember it was an 8 o'clock tip. It was a late tip. So we get done with work and we go out. It's probably 11:30 midnight.
Still warm out, though.
When we go out. Yeah, and it was warm. And then we went to that cowboy bar with the assless chaps.
Yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about?
PBR?
Yeah.
Right across the road. Yep.
I've heard of it. I don't know. I've heard of it before.
Nick owns a pair. He knows.
We walked out at closing time.
Pictures coming.
And it was 20 degrees.
It got that cold?
Yeah. Oh. And the drive home, because we had to get, because Hoiberg always had a watch party for the team for the selection show. And we had to get there to cover it.
Yep.
And we drove through a damn, like, snowstorm. On the way home.
Welcome to weather in March.
Yeah, that's what I always remember. I remember, though.
Last year was cold, too. Bloom that week is so hit or miss.
I remember walking into the Power and Light that night after everybody had been partying all day.
Yeah.
And Iowa State wins the championship. And I just remember, like, celebrate good time. And it's
come
just
on.
Drunk Iowa State fans just dancing like maniacs everywhere.
Iowa State fans know how to celebrate.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
We had so much fun that night, though. For some reason, I had, like, college students, like, crashed on the floor in my room, my brother-in-law.
I think you probably have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with that weekend because everybody wants Iowa State to do well, but that means you're working more.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like when Iowa State is doing well, and especially they make the championship, the vibe down there in Kansas City is just awesome.
It's crazy.
It's just awesome. It's just hard to find somewhere else. So that's,
yeah, I do have a love-hate with it. I've gotten to the point now where I don't really – like, that year, I wanted to be a part of the party. Now, I don't really care. I'd rather just cover the game.
You're maturing.
But I do.
You kids go out and play.
Selfishly, it's kind of fun when they lose early. Because I always, those years, I just had my wife come
down. It frees
down,
up your schedule.
And then I go to the games just like and just watch them. Like, it's fun. Like,
But nice weather helps so much.
Clearly, I want Iowa State.
Especially, like, a lot of people like to go down to the plaza and walk around and shop. That's hard to do at 40-degree temps.
Some year... You guys got to go with me to Sioux Falls for the Summit League tournament.
That sounds like a riot.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun.
Nick's
I'll
like,
go.
Otzelberger's team sitting in the front row behind the bench. Yeah. Pride of Harlan, Iowa's on that staff. Hell, yeah. It's like a mini Kansas City. So there's –
That's what they call it. Sioux Falls is the Kansas City of South Dakota. If you roll into town, that's what it says.
So,
swear to God.
But this is how this thing's set up. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The Sanford Center it's like the big arena that it's in. And it's a really nice arena, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's connected to this hotel, a Sheraton. And this Sheraton is huge. And it's one of those hotels that is vertical. So it goes up, and then you're like, you could be on like the 20th floor and look down, right?
Yeah.
Well, what it is this giant bar area at the bottom. And you've got...
So your rooms open up to the inside?
Yes. Well, yeah. So last year, I had no idea what I was getting into, okay? Yeah. I told... You know, I hadn't been to one of TJ's games last year. I'm like, I'm going to go to your tournament. I'm going to roll in on Monday. I'll go to the semis, and I'll go to the finals.
Is this where they... This isn't where they play their games, is it? Like, their regular games? This is some other arena.
No.
It's a neutral site.
Yeah, this is like... I mean, Sioux Falls would be comparable to, like, Council Bluffs or Omaha or something like this. That's how that arena is. It's probably... It's smaller than that.
Yeah.
But it's very nice and modern. You can drink in the games, and it's really cool. So I walk in there to this hotel, and it's crowd warfare. I mean, it's a bunch of Dakotans just swearing at each other. Like, there's, you know, these people... You see a group of red, and it's all the folks from Vermilion chanting, you know... F the rabbits, like, and it, and then you have the South Dakota State fans chanting back at them. You had a, you know, a bunch of idiots at North Dakota State fans yelling. I mean, it's utter insanity. And like, these people are all.
Where am I?
It was so much. I had so much fun. It was as much
and
fun.
It was just
as,
you?
Yeah. Because I just went by myself. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be an event. I thought I was, okay, I'm going to go to his games and then I'll probably go back to my room and work some. And no, it turned into a whole deal.
How many did they win the tournament?
Yeah, they did.
How many games did they play? Three?
Yeah, no, they... Well, it's a 10-team league, so yeah, three.
You better hurry up and go again if you're going to go, because I don't think he's going to be there very long.
I'm going to go this year, I think. I'm going to try. I'll probably just go for the championship this year.
Hopefully they're in it.
They should be. Yeah, it was fun, though.
Don't they have an NBA player on their team?
Dom, yeah. Mike Dom. He should go to the NBA.
How did he end up there?
Just was really under-recruited and then developed and turned into a really good player. He has parents. Like, his mom played at a high level, and his dad was a former athlete, too. He's got really good genes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have seen that coming. He's an interesting deal, though. Like, he's a grad transfer. He could have gone to, like, Duke this year, but he stayed there for another run.
Hmm.
But anyways, you guys have got to do that sometime. Well, if Otz is gone, then there's no point.
Well, we got to before that, we got to get Nick to go experience the Big 12 tourney.
You haven't done that.
I have.
So, no, like this year, get you down there. You know, you have an excuse to go. Well, obviously we haven't figured out if we're going to do a podcast, but apparently if we do,
we'll figure it out.
Our boy Ryan Grove does want to be on it and should be on it, to be honest, because that's his forte. Iowa State basketball, he lives for that time of year. So, he also lives for helping you buy or sell a house in Ames. See what I did there? That was a decent segue.
It was good.
That time. Ryan Grove up in Hunziker. Ryan Grove, by the way, here's my Ryan Grove story. And I can't tell you what it was about, unfortunately. But Ryan Grove gave me some inside Ames information the other day.
Oh, man.
He's like, keep this on the down low. I'll tell you after we're done. Don't worry about it. But, you know, the point of that is Ryan knows what's happening up in Ames.
Yeah, he's got his feet on the ground.
He's got his finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to know what's new in Ames.
It's a steak and shake thing, isn't it?
What's that? It's not steak and shake.
Whoa. Yeah. We're getting a steak and shake?
Nope. So what.
What are you doing to people?
By the way, you're not getting a steak and shake.
No.
That was not the news.
No.
But Ryan Grove knows what's going on in Ames. Filled me in, probably, on what's going in on Ames or in Ames. And he can help you find a house up there as well. So. Contact Ryan Grove. Maybe Ryan will tell you the news that I can't tell you.
Did you guys see on Twitter that my friend Rachel's going to be on the show next week?
We did. Yeah. So I was saying that might be the week I take off because I'm not sure what to talk to her about. So
are you serious?
Apparently, you have not given me the dossier yet.
She's great on
what I'm supposed to prep for this thing.
Well, I'll give it to you.
So, and apparently Nick says she's asking for pizza orders.
She's going to bring us pizza.
No one asked me what type of pizza. Yeah,
you'll like this guy.
I've met her.
She knows way more about Iowa State than you do.
I've met her, yeah. Well, a lot of people know way more about Iowa State
than I do.
She's
way more intelligent.
I think we do need to, like, set the tone, like, okay, so we're going to start off with a pizza bribe here first, but it's got to be just straight cash after this.
She's great.
Straight cash, homie.
Anybody who wants to be on.
I want to talk to her about what it's like to work for a presidential campaign.
Yeah, it was Romney.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
How many people do you know that have done that?
I don't know. None.
Whitfer.
Yeah, his guy lost, though.
Yeah, his guy. His guy came on my radio show and made national news.
Well, that's all right.
That was so great.
What did he make fun of? I can't remember.
He was making fun of Florida State fans.
Oh, yeah.
We totally baited him, but we were told to. We're like, he wants to talk about sports. And I go, okay, well, you're a big Florida fan.
Yeah.
Iowa State's tomorrow. Like, let's run some smack. And then he started dropping all these Florida State jokes. And, of course, the geniuses at the cable networks took him out of context and threw him all over the place.
What a terrible person.
That happens.
By the way, the worst idea of the week, although this took place a few weeks ago, have you been following the Jussie, is it Smollett? Is that how you pronounce the name? Have you been following that case out of Chicago?
Honestly, I'm so far behind. But, yeah, I've seen the headlines.
Attacked by racists, you know the story. Well, he was arrested.
Just made the whole thing.
He was arrested last night. And the narrative that's coming out today, apparently from him, and this might not be true, but what he's saying is he made the whole thing up because he was dissatisfied with his salary on the TV show. That's an interesting approach.
Yeah.
Don't like what Fox is paying me, so I'm going to stage a racist attack, and somehow that's going to up my salary on the show. I don't know what the thought process was there, but apparently he's
if you paid me more, I would have had security.
He's going to have to take a timeout, I think. So Williams is getting important text over there.
No, I'm
breaking
good.
News.
No breaking news here, everybody.
Nick, you have any hot takes? Anybody you want to make angry this week?
Not that I can. I mean, a lot of people. I can't pick anything right now.
Nick usually has hot takes around the office, at least. He's usually upset about something
behind closed doors. Yeah,
got that.
The people just aren't ready for some of this, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's get this snow gone and go sell some houses. All right.
Working on it.
All right.
Well, you know, more snow this weekend. No big deal.
Jeez.
Apparently not very much though.
What have you been looking at?
Yeah, you sure about that, buddy?
No. No. Is it? Are we getting a lot of snow?
Yeah.
What?
Allegedly.
Well, we can't believe anything, dude. No, the other day we were supposed to get 6 to 8 inches.
They're all in
two.
Bed with the grocery stores.
Oh, yeah. And the aliens. The aliens are the ones controlling it all.
Someone's paying Ed Wilson a lot of money to tell lies.
The
dude.
New World Order. The deep state.
Oh, at this point, dude, as you look out this window I'm looking at right now, it's like a pseudo mountain of snow. I'm like, who the crap cares if we get a little bit more? That mountain's going to get a little taller, I guess.
That's what she said.
Oh. Nice.
All right. I got to go.
Good finish.